All right, good morning. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. So Luke 2, 8 to 14. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Let's look at verse 10 one more time. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this morning and just for bringing us here safely. And Lord, We just ask you to take away any distractions, and we just humble ourselves now to receive your word. And whether it's something we've heard a million times or something that is new, Lord, we just ask you to speak to us, and we just ask you to show us our hearts. We ask you to change us, Lord. And so, we are just open for you now. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Okay, so this passage is quite popular around Christmas time because it is the passage used in A Charlie Brown Christmas, which is one of my favorite Christmas movies. But we'll come back to that in a bit. In this season, with Christmas and New Year's, many messages are about hope, joy, peace, love, generosity, family, celebration, and, you know, generally that's the atmosphere. But with the year ending, I find that it also brings a lot of fear. Fear that all the things you had hoped and prayed for won't ever happen, or fear that another year has passed and things are still the same, or maybe because of circumstances, fear that things won't ever be the same. And whatever the fear, whatever the reason, when fear creeps up and takes a hold of us, it makes it very difficult to truly celebrate this season and ready ourselves for what God has in store for us in the next year. And so that's what I'm going to be sharing a little bit about this morning. Just some problems with fear. Fear is irrational. Of course, there are healthy fears to have. Every Sunday we see kids, fearless kids, putting themselves in dangerous situations. And, we have to teach them not to do that. But, you know, as adults, oftentimes, most of the time, our fears are irrational. And the enemy has a way of distorting the truth so that something so small in reality just seems like a giant obstacle and something that just cannot be conquered. And, I mean, we look at, adults, myself included, when we're scared of, cockroaches that are this big and when I was young, I was scared of making phone calls. And it's kind of like, what's the person on the other end of the line going to do to me, right? And fear is also crippling. How many opportunities do we miss out on because of our fears? I look back at so many times in my life where fear kept me from taking action or moving forward. When I was applying to college, there was a huge fear of rejection. And so I just didn't apply to certain colleges because I'm like, oh, what if they reject me? Maybe even more seriously, fear of loneliness or moving on, and that keeping me from, getting out of, you know, a bad relationship or a bad friendship. And I had a revelation about this week when I was hanging out with some friends and their children. And so the dad took the four-year-old ice skating. And it was really cute in the beginning. You know, they were holding hands and he was kind of like taking little steps and moving forward. And at one point, the dad was like, all right, you know, like, let's challenge you a bit. And he skated forward like literally a few inches. Like if this was the kid, the dad was like here. And he was like, all right, come towards me, skate towards me. And so I'm watching and like, I think all the little boy had to do was even like just extend his hand. He could have touched his dad. But to him, that few inches was like this huge obstacle. And he stood there and he like threw a tantrum because he was like so scared of even moving his skate one inch. And he was like, wah, wah. So I'm standing there like watching this kid stand this far away from his dad, screaming his head off and just not being able to move forward at all. And you know, and it's so silly, but I think a lot of us, when we are crippled by our fears, that's what we look like. And living in fear is not something that God intended or wanted or wants for us. So going back to the passage, you know, when the angel appears to the shepherds, the first thing he says is, do not be afraid, or fear not, in the King James Version. And in fact, leading up to Jesus' birth, that phrase was spoken to basically everyone involved, you know, Mary, Joseph, Zacharias. And of course, part of it is that, you know, it is scary to have an angel appear in front of you. And so, you know, their first reaction is to be scared. And so the angel has to say, do not be afraid. But it also says something that in announcing the birth of Christ, there is first a declaration that there is no need to be afraid. There's no need to fear. And that's because, you know, our Savior has been sent to rescue us. And because of Jesus, you know, we can be reconciled with God. There's no longer a fear of punishment. And like Tim shared yesterday, you know, Christ is Emmanuel. God is with us. So there's no need to fear the unknown. There's no need to fear the future anymore. And actually, that phrase, do not be afraid or fear not, in some shape or form, appears in the Bible 365 times. So it's very clear that, you know, living in fear is not what God's intention is for us. And it's illustrated, you know, in Jesus. You know, in 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love drives out fear. And, you know, what love is more perfect than God sending his son to rescue us? And it sounds so simple, but a lot of times we act as if Jesus is not enough, or we even feel like Jesus is not enough. And, you know, part of it is that, you know, we're very sophisticated people, you know, and we find ways to cope with our fears instead of giving them to Jesus. You know, we learn to cover up, we learn to dismiss instead of dealing with it. You know, we learn to find security in other things. Those things may even be good things, but, you know, they're not Jesus. For me, like, after I quit my teaching job, and this was before I went to Cambodia, I was given a season of rest. And, you know, this was totally God-given. You know, and that time was for me to, you know, heal, be refreshed, be with God, and then pray about what was next. But for a lot of it, I wasn't really praying that much. And it's because I had a huge fear of the unknown, and I also had just a huge fear of making a decision, an actual decision. And I think the reason was, like, I thought, like, whatever I decided at that point was going to determine the rest of my life, and I was really scared that I would choose wrong, and then, you know, it's like, God's plan for me was supposed to be this, and then, you know, because at this point I chose that, it's like, you know, and it's completely off. But instead of acknowledging that, and I don't think I was even fully aware of it until much later, but I hid behind this season of rest. So when people are like, so, you know, like, you've been praying, you're resting, like, what's next? And I'm like, I'm just resting in the Lord. I'm resting. This is my season of rest. And I think deep down, I knew that God was calling me to Cambodia, but I was like crippled. Like, I couldn't, like, having the words form and having to say it out loud even, like, I couldn't do it. And, you know, some people are like, you know, what about Cambodia? You know, like, I'm resting now. Just, you know, it's just me and God right now. We're enjoying fellowship right now. And, you know, I even said for myself, like, oh, I have all this time, you know, and I'll decide during retreat. So I kind of set this deadline for myself. And, of course, I, you know, kept pushing until that deadline actually hit. And that retreat that year, that was a year when we had the prayer tunnel where all the house church leaders, you know, lined up, and then people went through and they prayed for them. And it just so happened that I kind of cheated the system, not on purpose, but I ended up going through the tunnel twice. So the first time it was just the house church leaders praying. And so, you know, you don't really hear anything, but, you know, I was blessed to, you know, went through. And then afterwards, the house church leaders got to go, and then, like, PSAM prayed for them. And so I got to go through again that time. And so PSAM prayed for me, and, like, the first thing he said after he, like, laid his hands on me was, you know, I just pray against, like, any fear, you know, of what, you know, what's going to happen, and, you know, just the future. And, like, when he prayed that, it was like, you know, glasses were taken off, and suddenly, like, everything was in perspective, and I knew that I was supposed to go to Cambodia, and instead of just, you know, heart pounding in the bad way, it was like, woo, I'm going to Cambodia, and it was, you know, I was filled with so much joy and excitement, and even the way I looked at it was like, oh, God, this is what you have in plan for me for this coming season. So, it, like, even my language, it wasn't even like, oh, the rest of my life, you know? I was like, oh, this season. And, yeah, and so I look back at that experience, and I just kind of feel like if I had stopped clinging on to this, like, excuse, really, of rest, even though it was a God-given time for me, and just told God, you know, just how scared I was. And I think, you know, I could have made the decision way earlier. I could have saved myself a lot of, you know, just a lot of wrestling and, you know, like, anxiety. And I would have actually made the most of that season of rest and actually gotten, like, a lot of rest, you know, instead of, you know, having that all in my head. So I said I'd go back to Charlie Brown, so I'll go back to Charlie Brown now. And I don't know if you guys have seen the movie, but Charlie Brown Christmas is about Charlie Brown, and he's kind of, you know, like, this depressed kid who, like, you know, with a squiggly shirt, And it's all about him. He's like, what, you know, what is the meaning of Christmas? What is Christmas all about? And he's asking his friends, and you know, he just wants to know what the meaning of Christmas is. And, you know, like, people are talking about the gifts, and, you know, his sister is asking Santa for money. And, you know, so he's, like, super disappointed in all the answers. And one of his friends is Linus, who is kind of like a baby, but he's very wise, and oftentimes he speaks a lot of truth. But he's known for always having a security blanket, like, everywhere. That's what he has. And people make fun of him. They try to get him to, you know, let go of it, but it's like, nope, this is my security blanket. And so at the climax of the movie, you know, Charlie Brown is just so fed up with everything, and he's like, can anyone tell me what Christmas is all about? And that's when Linus gets on stage, and, you know, there's a spotlight, and he recites this Luke passage. And I read this really cool article last week, or maybe a few weeks ago, but if you watch closely, like, when he's reciting this passage, when he gets to the part of verse 10, fear not, he drops his blanket. And it's like, you know, how profound is that, you know, in this cartoon, that this little boy who has found comfort in this blanket, when declaring the meaning of Christmas, the birth of our Savior, he just drops it. It's like, he just does it, you know? And so maybe for a lot of us who just kind of like, yeah, I know God is hope and, you know, love and all that, maybe the first thing we need to do is actually drop the blankets that we're holding onto so tightly, and these blankets that we have, you know, maybe even fooled ourselves into thinking that it's Jesus, but they're not. So let's close our eyes, and I'll ask Janella to come up. And just as we pray, let's just go before God and, let's just be honest with him. And, you know, for the things that, you know, you're aware of, the fears that are, you know, crippling you right now, let's lay it down before him. And then let's ask him to reveal you know, any fears that we might not even know, but we've just come to accept as the norm. And let's ask him to, let's ask him to free us of that. And then just for those of us who are just not feeling it, you know, during this Christmas season, let's ask God to show us, you know, what are the things that we are putting our hope in? What are the things that we are finding security in? You know, is it our education, our brains, our money? It could even be friends, family, whatever it is. If you're willing, you know, let's drop those. And then you can go before the Lord and really lay all those fears that you have before him.
I need you.
Father God, we just thank you that your love for us is so great, and that you sent your Son to save us, to rescue us. And we just ask that you forgive us for turning to other things, for just not recognizing, all that you've done for us. And then, Father, we just thank you for just your perfect love for us, and that this perfect love drives out fear. And, Lord, we just say today that, you know, that's not the kind of life we want to live. We want what you want for us. We want what you intended for us. And so we say no. We say no to fear, and we let go, God. And we thank you that, that you are Emmanuel, you are with us. And that in you, that there is hope and joy and peace and love. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those who are battling cancer. And recovering from chemo and surgery. Let's just declare healing. And also just pray for those loved ones around them who are caring for them, just for strength, especially during this time. It's difficult having loved ones who are sick. So just let's lift them up.
Thank you.
Let's pray for those who are sick, but more importantly need to know Jesus. Let's just pray that just for softened hearts and just for divine opportunities for people around to share God's love with them. Let's pray for those with different infirmities and yeah, God cares big or small, and so let's also declare healing over these brothers and sisters and their loved ones. Pray for those who are looking for work. Let's just pray that that they will have this time of rest with God, but and that they will yeah, just know and be encouraged that He is guiding them and leading them, and also just pray for His provision during this time. Our mission focus for today is China. So let's pray for our SPBJ family, the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, and all the churches. Yeah, just that they can take this opportunity and, you know, share, you know, what Christmas is all about. Let's pray for the board. P. Sam, Lisa, Janie, Kiwan, Brian, Sandro, Max, and Monica. Let's just pray just for wisdom and guidance, and also just a smooth transitioning as some members step down and new members join. Just pray for unity. Let's pray for our hospitality ministry, so welcoming and barista. Let's just pray that we'll be known as an incredibly welcoming church, that when people enter this place, that they feel like they're with family. Let's pray for men's ministry. They have the Monday morning prayer meetings, PD group, men's fraternity, women's ministry, Ya Man, Ya Mama. Let's just pray for all the leaders. That God will just give them a vision for these different groups in the upcoming year. And just for, that you just show them, how you want the people to grow, and just how to build deeper fellowship. House churches are on break, but let's just pray for all the leaders. Causeway Bay, Happy Valley, Island, New Conduit, Cimbria, Lion Rock, and McRobinson. That all the leaders will just have a time to be refreshed. We'll be starting again during the fast. So just pray that, God will speak to these leaders about, the house churches, in the next season. So Father God, we just thank you for giving us this time to meet together, to lift up our families, family members to you, Lord. Father, we just pray that, as this week goes on, that, we're excited for a holiday and, all the festivities. But Lord, that we'll be most excited about celebrating you and what that means in our lives, God. So just continue to speak to us. Lord, we just want to, we just want your presence to be so strong with us, Lord. So we just give today to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow on Christmas Eve.